And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
So unhappy all the time. Look, I've given you everything I know how. You're standing on the top of my
shoulder. Jake and Ben, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thank you very much for making us a part of your Wednesday. It's been a pretty wild week, Ben.
Has.
We predicted it was going to be a wild week, and it has, as we were meeting before the show and talking about what we're going to do and laying stuff out and what we want to get to. It's like, man, we got a lot. So much so that it will carry over, I'm sure, for weeks to come. Because a lot has happened this weekend. It has yet to happen this week.
It was nice to have Danny Ainge for 40 minutes yesterday in the middle of our show. And that was huge, and we don't get to hear from Danny Ainge a lot. At least, I should say, the public doesn't get to hear from Danny Ainge a ton. But, you know, it was also just a huge news day overall, and today is a huge news day, and tomorrow is a huge news day, and we just got a lot going on. It's exciting.
I think I think a lot of times people who are interviewed a lot want to turn questions around to the people asking them.
Yeah.
And he did that, like, five times yesterday.
He certainly did it early. But that, you know what? Here's one of the funny things I like about Danny. He will do that.
Yeah.
And he does that everywhere.
Oh, I'm totally fine with it. Yeah. But I mean, how many people who are interviewed all the time so want to do that?
Sure.
Or they just turn around and be like, what do you think, Booner?
No, I remember we were watching a press conference. I can't remember what it was. One of the players, we were waiting for somebody. And Danny just happened to be sitting in, just kind of waiting around. And he just kind of like leaned over and was like, hey, where'd you go to school? Like, what's your background? Like, Danny actually is kind of just a curious person. Versus the guy who's like, yeah, Booner, what do you think of Zach Edey? But I also think Danny is right in that he is pretty willing to take a lot of or listen to a lot of advice. I don't know whose advice he takes, but I'm sure he listens to a lot.
Oh, when he did that yesterday, he wasn't rude.
No, not at all.
No, that's not what I'm implying. I'm just like, if you did something over and over and over again, Ben, wouldn't you think of ways to make it more entertaining to like yourself? And I feel like that's what he's doing. I actually like that he engages with people asking questions. I think it encourages clarity and actually can really help answer the question. I'm not rude at all. I just think how many thousands of interviews has he done in his life where, like, standing there on the sidelines with Jim Gray, like, what do you think about that, Jim?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you tell me. I've answered.
Yeah, right.
And one of the interesting things about Danny, and again, look here. We talked about this last week quite a bit, which is like Danny is not actually the mystery that he gets painted to be. Now, that is his fault because he doesn't talk throughout the year. He talks before the year and he talks to the end of the year. And when you have this void, people throw into it and think there's conspiracies or he's the Grim Reaper or whatever, and he's not. But that's kind of how people treat him, especially jazz fans. You see it online. They're like, oh, he's this mystery. He's just operating in clandestine fashion. And he's not. You can talk to him before games. He will share information. He will tell you things that other GMs or executives or CEOs or whatever wouldn't tell you. But I think a lot of jazz fans, at least I saw it yesterday, were like, oh, man, what a breath of fresh air. Really happy to hear how candid he was. Really happy to hear Danny tell the truth. It's like, yes, I guess that is both what I've been trying to say. But also, to their point, it's fair that if that would make them feel better, and if the Jazz end up with a PR image problem, because Danny doesn't talk enough, maybe he needs to talk more. Just pop up a couple of times, middle of the year. This is where we are. This is how things are looking. This is what we did at the trade deadline. This is what we liked. This is what we didn't like, et cetera.
I'm actually fine with even Justin talking more. Mm-hmm. And Justin does, Zanuck does talk more than Danny does. But I'd love it if Jay-Z did a weekly hit on the zone, you know?
Like, of course. Oh, yes. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying please do it.
No, but I think that would solve the problem you're talking about. You know what I mean? I mean, if Danny Ainge wants to be the CEO and delegate, I actually think that's something you easily delegate to Justin Zanuck. Be like, get our message out there.
Yep.
Jump on with old Jake and Ben and have a few laughs. I think I truly believe that Joe Ingles coming on this station got him, made him millions more than he would have and kept him in this market longer than he would have other places.
It made him more beloved. I don't know. He was a good player.
He was here for 7 years. Yeah. NBA players aren't anywhere for 7 years anymore. Multiple contract extensions, including the first one, which is probably the one we can most take credit for, because he came on the station when he was the 12th man on the darn team. And I'll take credit for something that DJ and PK made happen.
Sure, and they would take credit for him making millions of dollars.
They should.
Not his own talent.
They should. They helped. You know it's about more than that. Of course it is.
Maybe.
Joining the show now, we're switching gears to the big story, the other big story of the day yesterday. And, of course, he covers the Cougs for KSLSports.com. He was all over this story yesterday. BYU hiring a new head basketball coach, Kevin Young, coming from the Phoenix Suns staff. Mitch is with us now. What's going on, Mitch?
Hey, guys. Good. Happy to be on with you.
Mitch, I was flabbergasted by this hire. I mean, this is beyond hitting it out of the park. This was the best case scenario. In fact, if I had heard Kevin Young was interested in the job, I might have replaced Mark Pope after putting together a tournament run last year at BYU. At what point did Kevin Young become the primary name for BYU, and how did this happen? How did they land the next great coach in basketball, was what he was expected to be at any level?
It is a pretty remarkable hire on that front, and I think that, you know, once Kevin Young was no longer, exploring NBA opportunities, and he expressed his desire to be at BYU, and then it was on. You know, BYU did want him from the beginning. The issue, again, was just like what you noted. I mean, he was going to be the next, big thing in basketball, and I just think that helped BYU's, they already had a previous relationship with him from the coaching search in 2019, and they made him a priority. And, it's been reported about, Ryan Smith and Danny Ainge, Ryan Smith's involvement. Brian Smith, he is a BYU basketball guy. I mean, I noted on my Cougar Tracks podcast yesterday how, he'd show up to games against, Southeast Louisiana, along with the Baylor games, but he'd be at obscure games. Like, he's in on BYU basketball. And to get someone like Kevin Young, who, it'll be fascinating to see, how he constructs and builds a roster in the college basketball game. But it just feels like that is a brilliant basketball mind to go and try to, put together schemes against Bill Self and Scott Drew. And I like the chance of BYU competing still in the Big 12. Still going to be, I think you got to readjust your expectations for next year. But Kevin Young, at this juncture of this, getting this guy compared to what the pool of candidates was, what a home run for Tom Holmo and that administration.
Do we know how and why the contract was made public?
That is fascinating. I'll give Matt Norlander from CBS Sports credit. I mean, that is kind of like a holy grail of scoops in the BYU world.
That's getting the white whale. I couldn't believe it.
I was floored myself because that's the stuff that lives in BYU lore. That's a great question. I wish I had more insight on that because, it could be his agent. It could be, they just don't understand the BYU nuances. Like, yeah, I'm going to give this info to the reporter. I wish I had more insight there because, yeah, that was jaw-dropping. And I think that also helps the cause that because BYU's background of notoriously in the past doing more with less and being cheap, let's call it what it is, putting that number out there really resets, I think, fans' belief. And I think that's what the Kevin Young hire is that, he who knows how he will truly, what level of success he will have at BYU, because you still have to have a program where you're going to tell guys you can't do things a lot of college students can. And that's going to give you an instant filter on the recruiting trail. But, if those that salary is accurate, I think if you're a BYU fan, you look at it and go, wow, they're actually wanting to compete. They actually want to go try and chase a Big 12 title instead of, thinking like, hey, we're going to do the BYU way, continue to do what we do. And it's going to still put us in a spot to contend with Kansas and contend with Baylor. And it's like, We all know that's not going to be the case. So it sends a message that, hey, BYU fans, donate to these collectives, donate to this, because that money will be well spent and we will be chasing, championships. And that's what you got to kind of do from a narrative standpoint. And I think if those that salary is accurate, I mean, I'm still trying to work to get confirmation on that. But if that's the case, I mean, I think it's a real narrative shifter for BYU.
So, Mitch, I don't know if you know this, Kevin Young has another job. He works in the NBA, and they're about to start a playoff series this weekend. Mm-hmm. What does he do? He's not leaving the Suns. How does he put a staff together? How do they start recruiting? How do they hit the transfer portal while he's still doing his other job?
A lot of, recruiting in basketball these days, in college basketball, it's no longer about, whining and dining the player and the parents and saying, hey, here's the academic hall where you're going to spend for 4 years. No, it's about, this is the depth chart. This is how you're going to fit. Yes, there is this honor code that you have to adhere to at BYU. It's real. But it's more about kind of talking in ways like you would an NBA pitch in a way, to an agent, free agent, like where you're just be talking about fit and maybe conducting a lot of interviews on Zoom. It can be done. And I think it can be juggled. But, I mean, it's going to be critical for him to get his assistant coaches in place to really help identify – where BYU goes, the direction of building this roster. They have 6 scholarships available. But, I mean, if the Suns do make a run and get out of the first round with the T-Wolves, I think there's, he can still juggle this. And I think he'll be okay. I mean, he's going to arrive in town from Phoenix today, sometime this afternoon, and then he'll be back in Phoenix by tomorrow morning. So, it'll be probably hectic for him and his family, but it can be done with, because, again, recruiting, now it's in a dead period with signing day today. Transfer portal recruiting is primarily on Zoom. I think it can be managed.
Mitch, do you have any idea what direction he's going to head with his staff?
That's going to be the interesting piece that to find out, like, does he get the full autonomy to, because he's going to, what direction does he want to go? Does he want to go with guys that have NBA backgrounds? Does he want to go with names that we're familiar with here in the Utah college basketball scene? That'll be, something to kind of learn and pick his brain on that, because I feel like, he's got to have some guys that know college basketball recruiting extensively and just kind of the nuts and bolts of how BYU recruits, and having, strong relationships with AAU and in-state, high school recruits here and the coaches here in the state. I think that could help the cause. So I got to imagine, with that as staff, but he's going to be, the thing is, he's going to have the resources and the support to get what he needs done. And I think that's something that gives you hope, where BYU can, put together some really good coaches to assemble with. Like, it's always been the case in the past with BYU is, well, they got a good head coach, but they got a pretty light budget for the support staff, so they got to go hire a guy that maybe wasn't even working in the profession last year, and then they go hire. It's just that BYU's just done things so different, and this just feels like a kind of how basketball and college sports operate at a high level. So, I think it'll be interesting to see what direction he does go. It's still time. He's got to act fast, though, and get that thing put together.
I'm not trying to pit these two against each other, but I think we tend to do this, which is, one of my thoughts was, is BYU a basketball school now? Like, how does this impact the rest of sports, certainly football, the investment that they're making in Kevin Young versus what they can do on the football side?
It's a fair point, because, BYU football has always been the marquee, sports at BYU, and it still is from an interest and ticket sales and whatnot and revenue. But it's a fascinating dynamic when you have two men that are, supporters from afar, but very close to it, with Ryan Smith and Danny Ainge, who love basketball. Clearly, I mean, you guys know as well as anyone, like, their passion for it, and they like to see BYU, win at a high level. And when, if this salary is accurate, Kalani Sitake, if he turns it around with BYU football, and he's not in a place right now to be, not necessarily complaining about what his salary is and whatnot, but if he turns it around and has a successful year and gets BYU back on track, if you're Kalani, you're like, I need $5 million. I need something pretty big. And because we've seen in the past, I remember, you know, what was it, Utah, when those years when Larry Krzyzewski got that big extension and Witt was like, we're building this thing up in football, and they're kind of going through their transition to the Pac-12, it can cause a little bit of a rift. And you saw Kalani go to Oregon State, and then he ends up at BYU. He lost some of his coaches, and we saw it with Kentucky too, with Calipari and Mark Stoops in football, where there's, why is this program getting so much and this program's not? I got to imagine that's got to be interesting, and BYU better be ready to pay up for the, whether it's Kalani or the next football coach, whoever it ends up being, to invest at an even higher level than you're doing at basketball. But so I got to imagine that's a unique dynamic. If there's someone that won't let it phase them, it would be someone like Kalani, but definitely, if they turn around, you better be ready to pay up.
Mitch, great work yesterday, and I know the work, of course, continues, but great job being all over that story, and we appreciate you jumping on with us. Usually you're Fridays, so we appreciate you bumping us up your schedule.
You bet, guys. Always happy to do it.
All right, buddy.
All right, see ya.
That's our friend Mitch Harper, covers the Cougs for KSLSports.com.
Again, just a fascinating hire, a huge hire for BYU. Kevin Young was... You know, he interviewed for the Nets job. Sounds like they went with Jordy Fernandez. There was some report that he turned down the Nets job, which I find a little hard to believe, to be honest with you. But I don't know. Maybe he did. And takes the BYU job. It's, as I mentioned, he was kind of the next guy. I mean, he was the next guy in the NBA. He interviewed for the Jazz last year. He interviewed for several jobs. Like, he was in line to become an NBA head coach. And he chose BYU. It's... I've never seen anything like it.
Maybe he didn't feel like the Nets were calling.
Okay.
Maybe he didn't feel like it was a calling to him.
Sure. I do think that matters, and we've talked about that a lot with BYU, right? They get guys they shouldn't get.
I'm making a joke, but that is part of my point is there's an additional draw to BYU that they certainly should play to their advantage. Now, I do not think that, like, I don't know, pick your favorite apostle was jumping on the horn and being like, you know, going Roger Reed on the guy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But there probably is a draw. He's from Salt Lake. I mean, he grew up here. We know about coaches that become attached to not only I'll just say our community. I mean, Kyle Whittingham could have gone elsewhere. Lavelle coached here forever. Yep. Jerry Sloan coached here forever. And here's where I'll toot our community's horn a little bit. It's a great place. It's a great place to live. It's a great place. It's a great sporting environment. It's well supported. Like, you know, I make a joke about the calling thing, but like the community is calling to him. You know what I mean? A lot of people who grow up here love it here and want to be here and grow up in the BYU-Utah rivalry in some weird way. And I don't know if Kevin Young grew up a BYU fan. I actually have no idea. But if BYU can play to that attachment in different ways, that's right. They get athletes. They get coaches that they shouldn't, that they don't necessarily have any business getting. And good for them.
And, you know, the Nets are a disaster. They have a disaster owner in Joe Tsai, and maybe they were only offering 2 years. Like, Will Hardy got a 5-year deal with the Jazz. That was a really safe bet, even if it was only – I have no idea what Will Hardy makes.
7 years in coaching is an eternity. I mean, if you can get a 7-year deal, talk about the white whale.
Yeah.
Getting
because
a 7-year deal.
If he's terrible, they still have to pay him. Who
yeah,
cares?
Right.
If he stinks in 2 years and they can't win a game and he's a disaster, they got
to
pay him.
And if he doesn't like it and can go back to the NBA. If Jim Boylan can rehab an NBA career in coaching – truly anybody can.
But so if he were to take the Nets job and it was 2 years and they said, yeah, well, it's 2 years and it's $10 million. And he says, well, I've got a $30 million contract anyways. And the average coach only lasts 3 years regardless. Well, it's about the sum. It's not about the years. It's about the overall number. And great, if I'm at BYU. And here's the thing. What happens if he wins the first 2 years at BYU? Well, they give him an extension and they give him more money.
Yeah.
Like, this is a starting price, and it's a very good starting price.
And I've never really bought into the logic of, speaking of NBA coaches, you know, there's only 30 of them, so you've got to take it while you can get it. Well, if I'm an up-and-coming head coach, I don't think that's necessarily true. Because if I take that bite at the apple and really suck, there you could do damage to your reputation for the rest of your career.
Yeah.
But if you take look no further than Steve Kerr and Jeffrey Hornacek. They were both, well, let's see. Steve Kerr was offered the Knicks job and then was offered the Golden State job like a day later. I don't think he had said yes to the Knicks job, but the reports were out there like, oh, the Knicks are closing in on Steve Kerr or whatever. And Kerr then jumps ship, takes the Golden State job.
Yeah.
And now he's a dang legend.
Yep,
Jeff Hornacek gets stuck with Phil Jackson and the crappy Knicks. And Jeff now has to be on a bunch of staffs if he wants to be a head coach again because he did such damage to his reputation.
Kenny Atkinson notoriously has turned down several jobs.
Like
he's been a head coach before, but he could get any head coaching job he wants, and he keeps turning jobs down because he's remaining with the Warriors, and he's going to find the right spot to land a good job.
Is Steve Kerr a better coach than Jeff Hornacek?
Right.
I actually have no idea.
Do I think Jeff Hornacek would have done just fine
with the Warriors?
Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Probably.
And he probably would have won some games. Mark Jackson did.
Hey, you, Curry, go make that three.
Yeah.
You, Thompson, make the catch and shoot. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe this he sees as an opportunity, a better opportunity for success than Brooklyn. But I have no idea if he...
I told him to do that.
Told Steph to make that three.
Yeah. So.
Hey, you, Draymond, punch that guy.
Well, I will say this, though. Kevin Young's job is extremely difficult.
Oh, yeah, it's a hard gig, for sure.
Here's what I'm not going to fall in the trap of doing. I promise you I'm not going to do this the rest of the year. Well, Danny Sprinkle did it. I don't care that Danny Sprinkle put a blindfold on and swung at a pitch and hit a home run.
He's the unicorn?
No,
he's
that doesn't unicorn? Mean he didn't do a good job.
I don't think...
But I'm never going to set that as a standard. That's bananas what he just did at Utah State.
Fair as a standard. I got it. But the whole building a program thing, I don't think exists anymore.
No, it's
the
not what it used to be.
The whole 3-4 years where, oh, you see where he's building to. That's not a thing.
I agree with you. I'm going to give Kevin Young more than a year to get BYU back on track because they lost everything.
But what you're giving him is a year of, what's the word I'm looking for? You're giving him an excuse for a year. It's not building anything. It's, well, yeah, you inherited nothing, so you get to suck for a year. But it doesn't mean that, like, there's this slow boil thing or that somehow, like, that's progress.
No, you're right, because he basically hits the reset button every offseason. Because if they sneak next year, what happens? All the bozos he recruits are gone, and he brings in a whole new team.
Yeah, yeah, it's not a thing. Like, this is where I actually think Craig Smith might be in some trouble at Utah because he's been riding the building it train for several years now, and then he's losing his entire team, basically, and... The expectations are still going to be, well, you're building to somewhere, right? Because that couldn't have been the peak. That NIT run could not have been the height of the build.
No, it cannot.
Like,
and they still lost a bunch of guys.
So he's going to run into it. Yeah, they lost everybody. Not everybody, but they just lost a transfer 10 minutes ago.
Yep, they lost Brandon Carlson, their best player. I mean, he's going to the next level, but yeah.
Right. So the whole building it thing is not a thing. And you make a great point about how if you do stink, it's not like those guys, you're going to cut all those guys.
Yeah.
All right. Stay tuned. Top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com coming up next. We're going to talk to Jay Stevens. We're going to talk a little hockey coming up at 11, right, Sarah? It says 11:30 on my sheet. I'm going to fix that. Because we've got What You Got Wednesday at 11:30.
I'm excited.
And it's going to be an interesting, I think, What You Got Wednesday.
Yeah.
Maybe controversial. I don't know.
Okay.
Stay tuned. Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to break down the biggest stories of the day.
Let's go.
This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm just a normal boy that sank when I fell overboard. My ship would leave the country, but I'd rather swim ashore. Without a life, this I'd be stuck again. Wish I was much more masculine. Maybe then I could learn to swim like 14 miles away. Now floating up and down, I spin colliding into sound. Like whales beneath me diving down, I'm sinking to the bottom.
It's Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I want to remind you, nominate the youth sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest to listen and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. All right, time for the top three stories of the day. KSLSports.com. Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number one, we're starting with one of the big takeaways from Danny Ainge's presser, talking about KD and the Celtics.
In my experience in Boston, when we were there, and we had Paul Pierce, and Paul was a terrific player, an all-star player, Hall of Fame player, and we lost 19 games in a row in 2007, and our plan was Kevin Durant. But when the lottery came around, we got knocked back three spots to number five, and our plan changed immediately, and we were able to eventually land Ray Allen and KG, which were never available before that moment in time, but we were there and we were ready. So it took a lot of good fortune. Obviously, it took some bad fortune to go win a championship, because if we'd have drafted KD, which was a top plan, we probably wouldn't have won a championship unless for quite a while as a young player. But the bottom line is, obviously, either of those are very good options. But we didn't have all of those options in front of us.
The moral of the story is, you can build a plan, the best laid plans of mice and men, right? Like, you can have a plan, you can have a hope, you can have an idea. The best thing you can do is be versatile and adaptable.
I kept getting asked yesterday, like, what did you think about the press conference? That was my FAQ yesterday. And I'll tell you, and this will go to show what a giant ego you're working with here, but I felt vindicated about everything that we talk about on this show. That's how I felt. Ben and I talk about all this stuff all the time, and I felt like, oh, it's so good to hear him talk about all of this stuff, because it's what Ben and I talk about. So sorry to honk our show's horn, but listen, we've been telling you that the plan is to be ready to go when something becomes available for pert near 2 years now. And I thought about his example right there, and that's a great one, obviously. But let's break down pretty much every major move in Danny Ainge's GM career, or at least a few of them. Let's think about it. Breaking up the Celtics to get all those draft picks that led to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
Do you think the plan was for a bloodthirsty Russian oligarch to buy into the NBA and be so desperate to win a championship that he would hire the biggest buffoon alive as a general manager and make a rash of silly, foolish trades that he could take advantage of? Was that the plan?
Yeah, Danny laid that out.
Danny think like, oh, I know what this guy's going to do. I know what the leak's going to do. They're going to go Russian.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Right.
All right, let's now think about the Kyrie Irving deal, where he's sitting on a treasure trove just confiscated from the Brooklyn Nets. Did he know that coming off a championship that LeBron James and Kyrie Irving do not like each other,
right,
and that Kyrie would be willing to pass on further, certainly finals appearances, but further titles just to get as far away from number 23 as he possibly could? Was Danny's let's get to the plan. The plan is, I've heard that Kyrie doesn't like LeBron. Let's wait for that to boil over in a couple of years, and then we're going to pounce. I don't think so.
And you're right. It goes back to the KD thing. You know, he was planning on drafting KD. It didn't happen. What did he do? He maneuvered.
He maneuvered.
Yeah.
Yes, you've got to be able to. Like, let's think about the greatest trade in NBA history, the Markelle Fultz-Jason Tatum trade, where he traded down two spots,
yep,
still got his guy. Do you think he was thinking 2 years in advance, like, I know how dumb Philly is, and they're going to have the third pick in 2 years.
Right.
And we're going to be able to pants them in front of the entire league and still get our guy? No,
yeah,
of course not. But you have to know, if there's one criticism that I would levy on Danny Ainge over his general manager career, is that at times he's been too conservative. When he was sitting on that treasure trove from the Nets,
yes,
there was a rumor out there, and hey, what do I know? But that Chicago was moving on from Jimmy Butler because they were moving on from Tom Thibodeau, and it actually came to fruition like a year later.
Yeah.
But that was the move, not Kyrie Irving. I always thought it was the Jimmy Butler move, and depending on who you believe, he passed on that because that wasn't the right one.
He's rumored to have passed on a Paul George trade. Like, he's passed on some trades, apparently, where he was too conservative.
And that is the trick, is you've got to pick the right move at the right time. And it's what you and I have been talking about forever now. It's like, you better make a move at the offseason. What do you mean make a move at the offseason? Yeah. Like, trade for somebody who's not available? You, Zanuck, go get me Luka Doncic. It doesn't work that way. And then you look at Ishbia, who buys the Suns and says, hey, you, what's their GM's name? He's good.
James Jones.
Yeah, yeah. You, Jones, go get me Kevin Durant. Well, there's all sorts of crazy stuff that had to happen in Brooklyn in order for that to even be possible.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving had to fall off the sanity charts, and James Harden had to want out of Brooklyn the year before. There's like 10 crazy things that have to happen for that even to be available.
Kevin Love had to be, or Kevin Durant, excuse me, had to be born with a size 15 shoe instead of a 14 because he steps on the 3-point line on a game that should have won it over Milwaukee, which would have sent them to the finals, and they win the finals over the Suns, and none of it ever happens. Right, like a literal game of inches, but yes, all these things have to happen to put yourself in a situation to strike. And that's what Danny Ainge and the Jazz
and
are doing.
And I love it that he said that. That was my favorite part of the press conference yesterday because I love it that he's like, you guys want – Ryan's asking me for a plan. What do you mean plan?
Yeah, it's not how basketball works.
That's not how it works.
The GMs I always like – and look, this applies to coaches. This applies to really everybody who's good at their job, managers, et cetera. You have to be able to make big decisions quickly. You have to – but you have to play the cards that you're dealt. You cannot fall in love with the idea of how it's going to work because that life doesn't work that way. So when something is dealt to you, you got to know how to play that hand. And you don't, you can't sit on it for 6 months and wait or say, well, that wasn't the idea. The idea was Dante Exum is going to be the star of the team, so we're going to pigeonhole Dante Exum to being the star of the team. By the way, I'm not saying the Jazz did that, but that can be a trap you can fall into. That's why I liked what he said about Keontae George yesterday. He said, I don't know if he's our starting point guard of the future going forward. I mean, that doesn't mean he's not a starter. He just may not be the point guard. So you'll bring in another piece to make life easier. Like, fine.
You know, fine.
You don't need to pigeonhole him into being something if that's not what's best for him or the team. Good. Play the hand you're dealt. That's what good general managers do.
Can I say that I totally interpreted that differently than you? I totally took that as a threat to Keontae George.
Okay. Maybe it was. We can play that clip later.
Like, I'll move you off the ball. You're not good enough to have the ball the whole game yet. I'll move you off the ball. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. And you know what? That's not beyond Danny Ainge.
Not a threat. That's too strong. But like, hey, you got some work to do.
Yeah.
Kind of like he did to Walker Kessler after last year. Like, he hasn't arrived yet.
Yeah.
I took it as that a little bit. All right, next.
Number two, the play-in tourney continues tonight.
Last night, good results, interesting results, potentially the death of the Golden State Warriors. I think they'll probably run it back again, as bizarre as that is.
But to get smoked like the Kings like that, that's terrible. And Klay Thompson ain't coming back. That's not happening.
I think he's going to re-sign, in all honesty, not at a max deal. But like, it's Klay. It's the Warriors. I would be stunned. It's the right move to not sign him, but that's not how the league works. And yeah, the Warriors like this romance of going out the way they started.
The problem is there's some franchise out there that'll give Klay Thompson a bunch of money. In your scenario, that works if nobody out there is willing to pay him, but somebody will be like
the 76ers,
like
who have all this money.
We're Klay away from, and they'll spend it. But anyway, they got embarrassed, which is, I honestly was shocked by that result.
So was I.
And then the Lakers should have lost that game on purpose and didn't.
But you know what? They can't beat the Kings, so maybe they're lucky that they did because Anthony Davis has never beat Sabonis since he's been in a Lakers uniform. So maybe they're happy to avoid the Kings in that sense, but yes, they get the Nuggets. How about Zion finally showing up? Zion had the game. We have been waiting for Zion since he left Duke. 40 points, 11 rebounds, best player on the floor in the fourth quarter, better than LeBron, better than Anthony Davis. We've talked about it. He's one of the few players on the planet who can physically dominate a game, and on top of it, he's very skilled. But he can physically take over a game, and he did. And what happened? His body betrayed him. Hamstring injury at the very end of the game. Wasn't on the floor to close it. Brandon Ingram wasn't very good. And now we don't know if he's going to be available against the Kings in the second play-in tournament game tomorrow night. So
that was always the question.
A bummer. A major bummer. I hope he's back. I hope he can play. I would like to see Zion play well. And then, yes, the games tonight. Obviously the big one that anyone cares about. Miami, Philadelphia, at Philadelphia.
Who are you taking?
I'm just not going to bet against Miami, and maybe that's stupid. You know, sometimes Tom Izzo loses in the tournament, but Miami doesn't have Joel Embiid. They don't have Tyrese Maxey, but they do have Jimmy. They do have Bam Adebayo. They have the best coach in the NBA. So I guess I'm going to be foolish and take Miami. I'll probably regret it tomorrow.
And how dare you say you don't care about Quinn Snyder's Hawks? It's a great team.
Hawks.
Well coached.
Bulls tonight for a chance to lose to whichever team loses between Miami and Philly tonight.
Yikes, the Hawks and the Bulls. Did you see that the Pacers, like, their three highest scoring games of the season. You know, the three times they threatened to break the scoring record in all of the NBA all came against the Hawks.
Hawks, you know, the Jazz don't play defense. The Hawks transition defense is maybe worse than the Jazz.
That, I don't know if that's possible, but yeah.
Watch tonight. The funny thing is the Bulls don't run. The Bulls like to play the slowest offense in the NBA.
The old man DeRozan's not running.
He's not running.
He's not running anywhere.
It might help them if they do, but.
The next time Vooch runs will be the first.
Right. And that's the problem. But the Hawks will let you run on them if it happens. But, hey, Trae Young is back. We'll see if he can put together some playoff magic.
Well, I'm sure Quinn will let him take 30 shots. All right. What's next?
Number three, the Coyotes play their last game in Arizona tonight.
Home game tonight, end of the regular season. They are not in a spot where they can make the playoffs. They are playing the Oilers, who also don't need this game. So the Oilers are going to be doing the late game tanking thing, not pretending I'm a hockey expert, but from what I've read online. So I would expect an emotional performance at 8 p.m. tonight from the Arizona Coyotes and likely their final game in Arizona.
In front of dozens of people.
5,000 people at best.
Dozens of emotional fans. And listen, I shouldn't make jokes about the fans because they've really been dragged. I mean, how could you be an emotional fan of the Coyotes? I don't even get how the A's fans are like emotional fans about the A's. Like the fans have been, you know, Jazz fans out there that are grumpy about the rebuild and something like, you know, that sort of thing. I truly don't understand because I don't think you know what like fan abuse or poorly run franchises even looks like because – talk about abused fans. I mean, look no further than the good folks of Oakland. I can't believe there's any A's fans left.
That they survived. It's
been so bad. And with the Coyotes, it's been run terribly.
Yeah.
I don't know how they have any fans down there. And you know what? That's why this franchise needs a fresh start and come to Salt Lake. New ownership, better run. Here we go.
I would think they would welcome the fans from Arizona. I would recognize it if they wouldn't follow them. But, this is a horrendous run of ownership that they've had, mistake after mistake when it comes to securing land to build an arena, and then, to have a 5,000-seat arena to force other NHL teams to come and play in is a disaster. They deserve a fresh start, and they're going to get it here in Utah.
Oh, man, I'm super jealous of the Saturday show. Ben, join the Saturday show live from the Uinta Golf Demo Days this Saturday from 10 to noon at Mulligan's on 106 South and 692 West in South Jordan. First 100 people in the gate will get free lunch and enter to win gear from Uinta Golf, and we'll be out there from 10 to noon. Have you ever done the Uinta Golf Demo Days at Mulligan's, Ben? Have you ever been down there for that?
I've not.
It's a blast.
Party?
You can basically hit any club. I mean, if you're not sure about what type of club or that sort of thing, length, all that stuff, like you can get all those problems solved for you down there. You know, Ben, you need a new driver desperately.
Mm. Well, maybe I'll go hang out with Hatch and Michelle.
At least hit some. Figure out what you're in the market for. You like that good ping? You a tailor-made guy? Do you need an offset head? Get those questions answered, pal. And go away with some new clubs. Treat yourself. I'm talking directly to Ben here because he needs to upgrade his equipment. He's getting more serious about golf, meaning you play on a regular basis. I don't think you have to have the top-of-the-line equipment. You don't need to go out and spend $5,000. We gotta get up from the Fred Meyer specials.
We'll see. I'll go down to Mulligan's.
All right.
Check it out.
Stay tuned. More next. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
You have sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I have to block out thoughts of you so I don't lose my head. They're crawling like a cockroach, leaving babies in my bed.
Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It's our 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. Jay Stevens, NHL insider for the Puck Report podcast, is going to join us coming up in the next segment at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. The latest on the NHL coming to Salt Lake. And his insight on hockey. Jay's a great dude.
He's got some well-placed sources
in the hockey world. We're excited to talk to him. We did a talk tick or whatever that is with him the other day.
Talk blast.
A talk. What was it? An Insta-talk, Sarah? What was it?
It's not out yet, but it will be out soon. Yes, we did. It will go TikTok. On Instagram and TikTok.
What about the Snapbook or whatever?
Yeah, are we on Snapbook?
We are not on Snapchat, if that's what you're talking about. It will not be on Snapchat, okay. But it will be on Instagram and TikTok.
All right. It is Win Ticket Wednesday. Let's give away some tickets right now. Caller 12, 801-575 Zone. You're going to get a pair of tickets to Blue October at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on August the 24th. 12th caller right now, 801-575 Zone. Quick NBA news, Ben, and then we'll talk a little hockey in the next segment. But Adrian Wojnarowski reported this. Really right as our show was starting. The NBA has leveled a lifetime ban on Jontay Porter for gambling. Ben, give us a quick refresh on Jontay's situation.
Jontay Porter is the brother of Michael Porter Jr., the not star, but maybe the fourth best player on the Denver Nuggets. Borderline NBA player. Has kind of been in a two-way guy. Has split up. But yeah, the sports books flagged that their biggest winning on a couple of nights were based on Jontay Porter over-unders, which I'm not a gambler, but even I would recognize, oh, that's weird. Nobody knows who Jontay Porter is, nor does anyone bet, I guess we would say prop bets, on his performance.
It's actually kind of weird that there's a line for him.
That they even said it. But I guess they'll take your money however they can. And every time there were these bets, Jontay would hit the under, which is, two made threes. He'd hit one, he'd pull himself out of the game.
Right.
He even bet, apparently, on Raptors games, but this is from Wojnarowski. Porter disclosed confidential information about his own health status to an individual he knew to be an NBA bettor. Another individual with whom Porter associated and knew to be an NBA bettor subsequently placed an $80,000 parlay proposition bet with an online sports book to win $1.1 million, wagering that Porter would underperform in a March 20 game. You bet $80,000 on Jontay Porter? Yeah. They're going to flag that.
So, first of all, Jontay might be the dumbest person alive.
Yep.
He might have that title. I don't know. We could make some arguments. But he might be the least intelligent person on the planet. But this is great for the NBA in a weird way because they get a chance to make a real example on somebody that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This would be a much harder thing to do if it were Jontay's brother, Michael.
A huge deal if it was Michael. This
right.
kills. And the problem is he was betting on Raptors games, it sounds like. So
the problem was is he was betting on basketball. He was betting, period.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Leaking info, it's not just betting on Raptors. It's all of the things. He was shaving points. This is the point of a lifetime ban. I always thought it was dumb that people got caught up in the Pete Rose thing. Well, he was betting on his team to win. That does not matter.
Right.
That does not matter. Think about it this way. Okay, was he betting on his team to win every game? Or did he manipulate the pitching rotations to make it so he, there's all sorts of things. I'll pitch the crappy guy because I don't have money on it on Tuesday, but on Wednesday, I'm throwing my good reliever. It's the great no-no right. of sports. There's no, he was betting on this team and that team and this team. Nope. Let alone shaving points, which was what this guy was doing. The NBA made the correct decision, and it was a super easy one because this guy's a nobody. But now, and not to pick on his brother, but the Michael Porter Juniors of the world are going, I probably shouldn't entertain this because I've got way too much to lose.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jontay Porter had too much to lose. It's insane that he did it.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Yep. In addition, from January to March 24th, while traveling with the Raptors or the Raptors 905, their G League team, Porter placed at least 13 bets on NBA games using an associate's online betting account. These bets range from $15 to $22,000 for a total of $54,000, yada, yada, yada. None of the bets involved in any game in which Porter played. These three of the bets were multi-game parlay bets, included one Raptors game in which Porter bet that the Raptors would lose and all three bets lost. The NBA loves that he didn't get a...
Good riddance.
Yeah, he didn't win money on the bets he placed against his own team.
Who cares?
But a huge deal. And I would suspect this is not the last we hear this story, meaning if they can get him for fraud of some type. I don't know how the bettors do this stuff. I really don't know how any of that works. I would suspect they would pursue this to the full extent of the law to make another further example of him.
Good.
Yeah.
And then I just to throw the no, you know what? We won't go down that road. We've got too much to do. And in fact, a great positive story. Jay Stevens is going to join us. He's the NHL insider for the Puck Report podcast. He's going to give us the latest on the NHL coming to Utah, and maybe we'll dig into the roster a little bit. Stay tuned. Jake and Ben, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Than us.
Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Ben, we talked about what a monster week that this is in the Utah sports landscape. BYU hires a head coach. Danny Ainge does his remarks wrapping up the NBA season. And, oh, yeah, this community might be getting an NHL team. Joining us now to talk about it.
That little detail.
He's an insider for KSLSports.com and the Puck Report podcast. The one and only Jay Stevens. Jay, thanks for joining us, man.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I love being on the air here.
I have to do this a lot because nobody knows who I am, Jay, because I'm new in this business, and I've been doing it for 10 years. So let me ask you who you are, because if people haven't heard you, this is the first time you've been on our show.
Okay.
Who you are, what your background is, how you got into hockey.
Yeah, I'm a local guy. Lucky enough to just, it's funny, I was actually a skateboarder. And the guy that had the half pipe, his dad was the local high school hockey coach. And so if I wanted to skateboard on their half pipe, I also had to play shinny hockey or street hockey.
Huh.
And then next thing I knew, I was playing high school hockey, and I moved away and played a little bit in Minnesota, then in North Dakota, and I just kept chasing the game. Everywhere somebody would let me play, I would play. And then I ended up spending the last 25, 26 years as the emergency backup goalie for the Utah Grizzlies. I played at Weber State, played college in North Dakota as well. So, and then for 8 years now, I've been hosting the Utah Puck Report here and letting the people of Utah share their stories about hockey. We've had some amazing stories. A lot of people, you know, make the NHL back in the day. People didn't know here that, you know, Steve Konowalczyk spent 17 years in the NHL, and he's born and bred in Salt Lake City.
Awesome.
No, yeah, we do have a rich history of it. I mean, they used to play at the Redmond Building. We've had the Golden Eagles. Like, we have a hockey history. It's just, it's been a bit of a lull.
Right. We're a niche.
So I guess on that note, do you think we as a community are prepared for this task? And Ben and I have talked about, you know, things like sponsorships and that sort of thing. But I want to talk about, you know, potential fan base. You think we are an untapped resource?
100%. Especially if you look at like what happened with Las Vegas. And Vegas just blew up, right? They had 400 registered hockey players. Now they have 4,000 registered.
Wow.
That's just youth. That doesn't count men's league. That's how it's going to blow up here as well. I think the SEG is going to do a good job at building youth here. I know one time he was quoted as saying, you know, he wants to do the same thing for youth hockey here as the junior Jazz do for basketball. He's very involved in growing the game. I think people will go, the corporations are going to buy season tickets. They're going to go as a thing that they're going to do as a corporation fun event. And man, once you go to a live hockey game, you're hooked.
Yeah.
And if you got a team that is here every day and you're hearing about them on the news and you get to know them, you're just going to be hooked.
Can we talk about where we are just with this whole process? Like, this is the last game of the season for the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah.
Going to be an emotional game at the Mullet.
Expensive ticket right now, too.
I bet. Yeah, I mean, there's only 5,000 seats. That's how you get the money up. So what is happening tonight? Like, do we know what tomorrow holds for Arizona or Salt Lake City? Like, how sure are we of anything?
Personally, I am 100% sure that it's going to happen. If I know the ink isn't dry on the contract, I know a contract hasn't been signed yet, but I know it's going to be within the next 48 hours. I know everybody's anticipating a big press release tonight after the game. I highly doubt that's going to happen.
Okay.
I think you'll hear some stuff out of Phoenix, and it's going to be exciting because they know it's happening. I think the Board of Governors will probably meet within the next 48 hours, and we'll have a press conference on Friday or Saturday sometime, and it'll be a big deal. But it's coming. And I'm sad for Arizona. First NHL game I ever took my son to was the Coyotes game. It was amazing. But, man, I'm pumped. I'm ready. I'm excited.
From an organization standpoint, how tall of a task will it be to be ready to roll by next season?
Wow, that's how crazy is that, right?
That's like, wild. I can't believe it's
possible.
You've
got 4 months.
Yeah.
As a player, and you get drafted, and you're like, oh, I've only got 4 months to get ready for my first NHL season or whatever. Imagine, like, I gotta find a locker room. I gotta, you know, the thing about that I've learned talking with Ryan Smith and his group is these people, not only do they have vision, they immediately solve problems. And I think as soon as the potential, because, you know, he wanted expansion. He was very clear that he wanted an expansion team, and he thought he'd have that 5 years. I think the NHL came to him and said, can you fix this problem right now? Can you help us out? And he said, yeah, let's move him in, and we'll figure it out. And I think he figured it out. I think it's huge, though. Like,
yeah,
just
logistics alone is wild.
And, you know, you're going to lose money because right now some of the sight lines aren't great. You have 14,500 good sight lines. And then a bunch of sight lines that aren't good in the rink. So they know that the money's not going to be coming in great at first. But I think they're going to pull it off. I can't imagine what it's going to look like behind the scenes. All the little pieces of, you know, sometimes we just move fire apparatus. We have to pull all of our equipment off one fire engine and put it on another. And we're like, oh, we forgot this little thing or a placard or a garage door opener. And now imagine doing that with a 30-year-old franchise and putting it in the Delta Center. Like, I can't imagine what it's going to be like, but I know that those are the right people, and it's going to be amazing.
Let's talk about the Coyotes themselves. As I've done my research, you can speak much better to this. This is like a cool young team. Like, This is not a disaster. You're not buying the Oakland Athletics that can't get out of the cellar. Like, they are on the upswing of the rebuild, and not just the beginning of it. Like, it's getting kind of close.
And it's funny because a year ago, people were so mad at the GM, Bill Armstrong. They're like, man, he keeps, because, you know, a goaltender gets really good and they dump him off because now he needs $4 million a year. And so they'll dump him. And for you basketball fans, that's actually really a huge salary in the NHL. So they're like, all right, this goalie's now good enough for $4 million a year. Get rid of him. We'll start over. So they draft again. They get more draft picks. And then another player gets really good. And they're like, nah, he's too good. Dump him off. Yep. He can't be in our 4,600-seat building. So they've been dumping him off and stockpiling draft picks. I mean, you've got 7 first-rounders playing on the team right now. You've got another 7 in their AHL team. You've got their first-round pick coming up this year, 4 second-round picks coming up this year, tons of cap space. Yes, they missed the playoffs this year, but if the way that Smith Entertainment Group has seemed to have ran stuff in the – you know, just watching what happens with the Utah Jazz, I think they're just going to go right now, grab the talent that's out there, do some really good free agent moves, and I truly believe that we're going to be a threat next year. Hmm. I'm calling it us, the Salt Lake. Yeah. I'm already embracing the us.
I hope this question makes sense. So with the hard cap in the NHL, and it's different from the NBA in that way for fans around here used to following that, the best run teams in the NHL, how are they usually run with that hard cap situation? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And do you know the drama with the Las Vegas Knights, the Vegas Golden Knights right now, and how they've avoided the salary cap?
No.
So the salary cap is the salary cap. It's not like the NBA where you get a luxury tax or Major League Baseball.
It's a hard cap.
It's a hard cap, and you do not go over it, and you do not go under the floor. Like, all the teams are competitive, and all the small markets have the same chance of winning the Stanley Cup. But the Golden Knights last year had 2 of their best players on long-term injury, which does not count against your salary cap. Mm. And then at the trade deadline, brought in good players. Again, this year, all of a sudden their top 3 players are on long-term injury, which they're legitimate injuries. I mean, Mark Stone had his gallbladder rupture.
Yeah, they're hurt.
Yeah, they're legit injuries. So, and then they go out and they get Thomas Hertl, who's the best player on the Sharks. They get Mantha, who is just an amazing big body boy. Like, he's just a great player. And all of a sudden, they have three more $8 million guys in the lineup just in time for their own $8 million guys to come back in playoffs. And that's how they made it last year. Tampa Bay Lightning did it before. But typically, I think that'll get voted out this year. That's not going to work anymore. But that's the only trick around the salary cap. Everybody else just has to play within that cap.
So as usual, it's the team that finds the loophole and then take advantage of it until they close the loophole.
Hey, that's how you and I got our jobs. This is a loophole here that you and I have.
Hey, same. That's how I got mine. Yeah.
Okay, Jay, can you tell us some of the personalities that we need to be familiar with? You talked about Bill Armstrong. If you haven't heard our sister station in Arizona, he does a weekly hit with them. He's awesome.
Oh, really?
He sounds great. Yeah, yeah, he does a weekly interview with them.
Oh, he's...
is very candid. Yeah. Like, it's very cool. Who's the coach? Can you give us kind of some ideas of, like, the people we need to be familiar with if they get announced Saturday, Friday, whatever this is?
So, Clayton Keller is the first guy you're going to want to know about. He's one of their last draft picks. Just a great Canadian player. Andre Tourigny is their head coach. Very good at developing kids, developing these 18, 19-year-old first-round draft picks. Right now running a system out of the 90s, and that's not his style normally. I think he's kind of adapted to having a lower cap. He's kind of been running this neutral zone trap a lot, which is kind of boring to watch. But that's kind of what you have to do when you have a lower salary cap team. But Clayton Keller... just a great United States-born player. He was phenomenal in the World Juniors a couple years ago, and just that's one name you're going to want to know. Nemelka, one of our goaltenders. We have two really good goalies, Nemelka and Connor Ingram, and a Canadian and a Czech. They've been phenomenal. It's really been hard to tell who the starter is
because
they've both been so solid this year, and they've been getting peppered, so they've had a lot of experience this year. And Nemelka's pretty interesting. You'll love interviewing that guy. He's pretty interesting to interview. And then Shea Weber. I don't know if that name means anything to you guys yet, but it will. Shea Weber's been around for a long time, a legend with the Predators. He's been on the Coyotes. He's injured right now, but he's got like a 107-mile-an-hour slap shot. Very entertaining off the ice.
Heavy on puck. That's what they say, Jake.
Heavy on puck.
Is it now?
Shoots a heavy puck.
He does shoot a heavy puck. So guys like that, you're gonna get to know a lot of them, and I imagine there's gonna be some really good free agent signings, and should be really interesting to see what happens.
107 miles an hour. What's the fastest one you've stood in front of?
It wasn't clocked. I was really surprised. I got the opportunity to a few summers ago. There were a bunch of NHLers that live in Park City, and I was practicing with those guys. And Rob Blake was one of them, who has a legendary slap shot. On my way driving up there the first time, I'm like, I cannot believe I'm going to stand in front of Rob Blake's slap shot. But it was Claude Lemieux. Claude Lemieux, okay. Who was not known for his shot, was literally putting welts on my... I left all welted up through my professional quality gear. One of the hardest shots ever.
I can't imagine thinking to myself like, oh, that sounds like a good idea.
Hey, Jay, most of our listeners have been to a Grizzlies game, and Grizzlies games are great. They've been fun to be a part of. What is the difference that they're going to see between the NHL and a Grizzlies game?
So, kind of the Olympic motto, they're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger, they make less mistakes, their decision-making is a lot faster. So your first couple games, you know, people complain about not being able to track the puck when it's on TV. When you're there live and it's moving that fast, there's a growing curve. You got to learn to follow that puck because those guys know where it's going before they get it. And it's fast. And that's the main thing is when you go and you see it live and you see, okay, these guys are big. You know, you got a big 6'6", 240-pound guy. It's pretty impressive. And I've said this a lot. Hockey is beautiful. Hockey is as graceful as you want to see it if you look at them skating, and that part's beautiful. And if you like the violent part of it, hockey's got violence because those fast, beautiful skaters run into each other at 30 miles an hour. And then if you cross one of the unwritten codes, you're going to end up fighting. So those things, watching those live, people just love it. Okay. It's got something for everybody. It's one of the rare sports that really does have something for everybody.
We don't entirely need to go into the reason for me asking this question, but who would you say is the best hockey executive of all time?
Bill Armstrong.
I guess I'm going to say Bill Armstrong right now, but, you know, I'm forgetting his name right now, out of New Jersey that put all those teams together. Phil Lamoureux.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm taking notes. But it will Ben and I do a little contest that will be relevant for in our next segment. So that's why I asked you that.
Hey, Jay, one of the things I have heard that I am excited about, I'm curious if you can speak to this and if it's true. I was listening to a fan podcast of the Coyotes, and they were saying one of the things that's really interesting, this guy had covered the NBA, had covered a lot of sports. He said the intimacy you can build with a hockey team and the players is different than other sports. Have you noticed that there is a stronger personal relationship between the players and their communities than the NBA? Because like you said, there's not as much player movement in hockey as there is in the NBA, where it's like every 2 years now you might have a totally new team. The Jazz have one player on their team from 24 months ago. Have you noticed that in hockey in the NHL historically, that players are A, around longer, and B, they build those types of relationships with their community?
Yeah, 100%. The core of the team typically does stay around a little bit more, and they are way more involved in the community. And I don't know what the reasoning is. You know, I know with the NHL, with NBA players, they're superstars, right? Yeah. Nobody can go around them, and they have a hard time going out and just eating and being left alone. But NHL players are less entitled, maybe more grateful to be there. There, and a lot of us have to leave home at 14 and go live with a billet family and learn to play there. And then you learn right away, like, hey, I got to be a good guy, and I got to be involved with this family, and I got to be involved with this community, or my junior team's just gonna cut me. No matter how good you are at the time, there's a lot of other 15, 16-year-old kids that they can just bring in to fill that. So as you grow up under that pressure and under the realization that playing pro is an honor, it's a gift that so many people don't get, that they're just more grateful. And then they get out in the community and they always try to do stuff. And it's not like the team going to them being like, all right, boys, today's the day, we got to go do this. It's like guys go out on their own and find stuff to be involved in and do it. I've known several, even Sidney Crosby. There are times that he'll just be in a town and he'll just go to the rink and just pop in and sign autographs and meet kids and meet fans. And it's really cool. It's kind of a unique sport that way.
Well, thank you, Jay, for dropping by. And we look forward to having you on the show
all the time, man.
This is going
to have to be a weekly thing. Yeah, we're going to have to have you weekly.
Oh, I'm excited.
You don't have to be in studio, but if you want to be, we'd love to have you.
And I feel confident in this, that you easily have the best mustache in the building.
Ah, thank you.
Like, number one.
I've worked hard at it.
I don't know.
I think I'm the only mustache, right?
Ben certainly isn't going to catch it.
Whoa!
I don't think I can either.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give him my
take
best.
Take several
though.
Years.
Yeah.
Hands grew some facial hair, but it doesn't compete.
No, he's not. I mean, come on now. But Jay, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're the man,
we
Jay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. I'm excited to talk more hockey soon.
You bet. All right, stay tuned. What You Got Wednesday coming up next, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3,
on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Again, a big thanks to Jay Stevens, who joined us in the last segment, NHL Insider for KSLSports.com and the Puck Report podcast. And hopefully will join us frequently here on the Jake and Ben Show, because Jay's awesome. That was a lot of fun. I want to remind you to join Hans and Scotty coming up on Friday at Spa Treve in Highland, 5455 West, 110 North. Stop in and say hi. They'll be broadcasting from noon to 3. All right, it's What You Got Wednesday. If you're new to the show,
I'm not ready for this at all.
Ben and I do 2 5 selection drafts, one sports related, one not. And then we put the lists out for a vote. I haven't even looked. I think I lost big last week, didn't I, Sarah?
No, I think you won.
Yeah, you won both.
Both.
Did I win both? Oh, yeah, and I won big. Best current foreign NBA players, I won 83-17. Best fictional siblings, I won 61-39. Appropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, I really feel like I dominated.
Okay.
Although the first...
Happy for you.
The first pick in the foreign player one really made a difference.
Yeah.
Because you get Jokic and Doncic, and you got the Greek Freak and Joel Embiid. All right. What's today's sports-related topic there, Sarah?
All right. We're doing top five best GMs.
Ugh, this is going to be hard.
Ben has the first pick.
Is there, again, the go-to question, is there an obvious number one?
Not obvious, no.
Do you have a clear, like, you're waiting for this person to come off the board?
Yeah, I think I have a number one, yeah.
And we're kind of setting this from 1980 forward. We kind of agreed not to take this guy, but I guess, can I just take him? Red Auerbach?
Yeah.
Okay. We kind of both talked about, like, what's the cutoff for when this starts, because who cares who put together the 1940...
Buffalo Bills,
Minnesota
yeah.
Capitals, or whatever, yeah, I don't know. So I'm going to go with Red Auerbach. He built the 80s Celtics, very famous on top of being the coach. He, you know, drafted all these guys and put them together. So I'm going to go with Red.
My number one, and this is a counter to yours, but I think he is the best executive of all time, and that would be Jerome West.
Okay, Jerry West.
You may know him as Jerry.
The logo. I agree. He's right there.
And he was... in the Warriors front office, building that. I mean, he's amazing. Built the Showtime Lakers, of course, is what he's most notable for, but feels to me like the best executive in sports.
So Jerry West, your number one pick. This is maybe the most famous of my lifetime, just because he did the unthinkable. I'm going to go with Theo Epstein. Built the Boston Red Sox when they broke through. I know they made fun of him in Moneyball, but... signing Johnny Damon is actually a good deal. That actually worked out for them really well, but put together some unbelievable teams and got the Red Sox several World Series. So Theo Epstein, my second pick.
Yeah, he's all right.
It helps to have a bunch of money.
No, I think, yeah. Well, then he did it. You didn't even mention that he did it with the Cubs.
Right.
He did it with the Red Sox,
yeah.
And then he did it with the
Correct.
Cubs.
He has repeated the process.
Yeah, he might be the answer. I'm going to do it that way. All right, Ben, I think I will stay in the NBA.
Daryl Morey.
No.
Your favorite guy.
No. No, no, no.
Not him.
I'm going to go with Pat Riley.
Okay.
He's been a great executive in Miami. Consistent.
Yeah, he's great.
He has done it with multiple teams, like didn't just have to have LeBron to win the title, but then convinced LeBron to come there, put that all together behind the scenes. Pretty amazing.
Pulled off the Shaq trade, right? That got them their first title, that kind of opened the floodgates for even to get LeBron to go there.
Like, Pat Riley.
And didn't give up Dwayne Wade to get Shaq back, which a lot of people would have been like, well, just do it. Just get Shaq. Well, you give up Dwayne, you don't win a title, and then you don't get LeBron.
Like, even his more minor moves, like trading for Ray Allen at the end of his career, like, that put him over the top.
There is no better player on the, or I should say GM on the planet, who has found, done more with less. I mean, they, as much as we talk about Miami being this destination, like, they get guys like Max Strus to turn into superstars. Not yep. superstars, but big playoff performers.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go with the CEO of the San Antonio Spurs, R.C. Buford. R.C. Buford also has done that. Sure, it really helped to get Tim Duncan, but he also found Manu Ginobili, the last pick or second to last pick of the draft, drafted Tony Parker late in the first round, really put together a staff that could win around Tim Duncan for a long time, and they were relevant for so long and remain relevant. I mean, R.C. Buford is a Hall of Famer and all-timer. R.C. Buford with the San Antonio Spurs.
Okay, I feel like my next pick is going to be somewhat controversial, and I feel like it could either win it or lose it for me, but I'm going to go with Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Because he's been such a terrible general manager for, like, the past 5 years. Just, like, awful. Awful.
Yeah.
But to, you know, the whole Patriots way and all that thing to generate all those titles. And yeah. To Bill Belichick.
I think that's the right move. You can tell me if this is too far back. If you want to veto this, you can. I don't think it is, though. I'm going to go with Al Davis with the Raiders.
That's fine.
Put together those Raiders teams with John Madden to...
But see, here, this is the same thing with Belichick, because he was so bad after that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, for like over a decade bad. But yeah, that's legit.
Al Davis. I figured I needed to sprinkle a little NFL in there.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, not Daryl Morey. Yeah, that's not happening. I feel like I'm like too NBA heavy. Maybe okay. I'm just going with what I know. Should I branch out is what I'm fearing here, Ben. How about, I'm going to go with Brian Cashman.
Okay. Huge. Yeah.
The longtime Yankee general manager, even though I can't stand the Yankees.
Helps to have a bunch of money, but yeah, he's done an awesome job.
Yeah, yeah. Hurts me to do it.
Yeah. My fifth, Sarah?
Wait, sorry. Say that one more time. Who is Jake's
Brian
fourth?
Cashman.
Brian Cashman.
Which fits. He's the cash man. He's got all the money with the Yankees, and they can go and sign endless players, seemingly. And they do, every year. Good for them. But he's done a good job. He's kept that team relevant. In fact, they're leading the AL East as we speak. My final pick, Oklahoma City Thunder general manager Sam Presti.
He stinks.
He's done an awesome job. He has this team set up perfectly. He's pulled off some great trades historically in his career. He is very much a young Danny Ainge. He has done a lot of... He kind of followed, I think, the Danny Ainge playbook. It's funny. We say, like, oh, are the Jazz doing the Thunder playbook? It's like, the Thunder might be doing the Danny Ainge playbook.
Whatever. He traded away James Harden over, like, $5
million. Sure, he's not been perfect, and that was an ownership issue, but yeah.
And completely submarined a title-contending team by doing that. And, not to mention, got blindsided by Kevin Durant leaving. I think those are two eliminating moves, in my opinion, for this particular discussion. But you do you. That's all right.
Okay. So I did. Who's your fifth pick? And I have.
Let's see. You know what? Why not? I think he belongs on this list. I'll go with Danny Ainge.
Yeah, Danny Ainge absolutely is a great pick. In fact, I probably should have taken Danny over Sam Presti.
I certainly would have.
You might lose votes because there's a weird thing against Danny locally right now, but
whatever.
Danny's better than Sam Presti is. Right? Danny's won a title.
Yes.
He's pulled off more great trades. Yeah, I should have just taken Danny Ainge. I overthought that one.
I was also really heavily considering Ozzie Newsome.
Ozzie Newsome. Bill Pullian.
No.
Yeah. Bill Pullian's been a great general manager historically.
Yeah,
I mean,
whatever. He just caved to Peyton Manning every
look,
single time.
Look, we want to talk about great team building. Jerry Jones in the 90s. Psychopath. Bad guy now. Like, bad at his job, but...
Not taking Jerry Jones.
But...
I don't think that's
the answer.
At one point... Jimmy Johnson was more responsible for that roster than Jerry Jones. And thus is the age-old battle, right? All right, so you reset, Sarah?
Yes. Jake, you had 1, Jerry West, 2, Pat Riley, 3, Bill Belichick, 4, Brian Cashman, and 5, Danny Ainge. Ben, you had 1, Red, how do you say his last name?
Auerbach.
2, Theo Epstein, 4, R.C. Buford, or 3, R.C. Buford, 4, Al Davis, and 5, Sam Presti. I probably would have added, that's just because I'm a soccer fan, but like Manchester's owner back in the day, Alex Ferguson, was a big deal during the David Beckham era.
If we wanted to get 0 votes, we would have done that.
Wow.
Just for your listeners, thank you, Ben. He was a big deal.
Yeah. No, you're right. We could have branched out.
All right. What is our not sports today?
All right, this one's fun. I'm excited to see your answers. We're doing top 5 best Kevins or Youngs.
Oh my gosh, I haven't prepared for this at all.
In honor, obviously, of Kevin Young being hired as BYU head coach, can either be the first name Kevin, even last name Kevin, I guess, if that's a thing, or Young in their name.
Okay.
I have the first pick again. I'll take it. Obvious front runner here?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
My first pick, Steve Young.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, I think that is the obvious front runner.
My first pick is his great-great-grandfather.
Great. You want to go that direction? You can.
Brigham Young.
You're not going to get any votes for it, or at least half of our listenership's not going to vote for you.
He only founded the city where we live.
Oh, yeah, and the University of Utah and some of the newspapers and designed the whole town and got the railroad built here.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's absurdly important.
Way more than Steve. What did that guy ever do?
Super Bowl MVP? 2X?
Not even close. Did he march? How many people marched across the prairie? Did he lead hundreds of thousands of people across the prairie?
Trillions.
I doubt it was that much.
Trillions.
How much was it?
Trillions.
All right.
Trillions of people.
You're up.
Number two, Kevin Bacon. Youngs and Kevins, we're going with Kevin Bacon. I'm a big bacon guy, not just the food.
Do I want to stay with Youngs or do I want to go with Kevin?
You can branch out.
What do I want to do? You know what? I'll go with Kevin Durant.
Okay. Solid player. Most overrated player in NBA history, but good player. Good guy. Ken, you know Kevin Young knows
it. What a lightning hot take that is. Most overrated player in NBA history?
Well, he is. But, yeah.
Well, he is.
Will you put that on the note? Ben says, most overrated player in NBA history. When you put out the graphic, put that in quotations under Jake's pick.
Just definitively said.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's right. Okay, let's see here. Kevin's or Young's? I'm going to go with Young Frankenstein, the movie.
Is the character's name Young Frankenstein? Then if not, then it doesn't count.
What do you mean it doesn't count? We're doing best Kevins or best Youngs.
Yes.
It's a Young.
That's referring to people.
No, we never said that. It's a Young. Young Frankenstein. Put it on the list.
No,
we're going Young Frankenstein.
I'm saying absolutely not. Sarah,
why not?
Because that's not the draft.
Well, you're talking name of people.
Yes,
that's
we
the
are.
Name
when
of
did
a
we
movie.
Say that? When did we say? We said best
that's
Youngs or best Kevins.
That was the idea
Young Frankenstein.
Of the
put
draft,
it on the list. Then change your strategy.
This
Pick
was
a Young.
My idea. It was people with Kevin or
we,
Young.
That's
the
not
names.
What I was laid out. We just said, and it's a name. Young Frankenstein is the name of a movie. I'm not backing off this.
It's not the name
I'm
of a
person. I'm not backing
off
this. I'm not backing off this.
So you're saying Young Guns counts?
Sure. If that's the thing you want to draft
not,
and you think you'll get draft
that's
picks for it?
Not the draft.
Young Frankenstein. Best Youngs. It's a Young Frankenstein. We didn't see best people named Young.
That, yes, we did.
No.
Quite literally, when I set it up, that's exactly what we said.
Yes, Youngs or best Kevins. Young Frankenstein. I'm not backing off. I don't know what to tell you.
Sarah, you get to decide.
Don't put me in the middle of this.
Well,
we vetoed things in the past.
Yes.
I feel like this should be allowed to be vetoed.
Why? What's the explanation
It's
here?
The name of people. Even if it were a fictional character, there might be some debate.
Yeah,
but
if
it's
it was
not...
the name of the person in the movie, then, like, that's different.
It
but...
is. It's about the son, Frankenstein, or the great-grandson.
But the name
but
is
name's
not
Young.
You guys are no fun. You guys are the... What a wet blanket you guys have turned this draft into.
And?
Zero creativity. We can't be creative. We can't have fun with the show.
Nope.
Okay. So we're vetoing Young Frankenstein?
You got outvoted, dude.
Did we? Sarah, are you vetoing it?
I mean...
We're not having fun on the fun segment?
I mean, I just feel like we did names of people. That's all. If the kid's name was Young, then I would say it's good, but it's not.
Okay, fine. Kevin McAllister from Home Alone.
That works. That's a good one, too. I didn't even think of that one. I'm going to go with Angus Young.
No, doesn't work. Doesn't count. Is that his real name? I don't know.
It is his real name, I think.
There's no way it's his real name.
You don't
Anyways,
think so?
Anyways, whatever. That's fine. It counts. The name is there.
Angus.
From
AC/DC.
No, Angus McKinnon Young.
That's his actual name?
Yeah.
McKinnon.
Didn't even fake it.
Well, that's a good rock star name for it to be given to you.
Yeah, it's great. And very famous. Very iconic. Trying to get over Young Frankenstein. Give me Kevin Costner. I'm going heavy on the Kevins. I had a good Young mixed in there, but...
Costner is a good pick. Man, he hasn't made a good movie in a long time.
But Field of Dreams.
He had one of the great runs in like the what, Ben, late '80s, early '90s.
Awesome.
And then just fell off the planet. Did you ever see 3,000 Miles to Graceland? Maybe the worst movie ever made.
Hey, I just watched Bull Durham the other day. It's awesome.
How many is this for me, Sarah? This is 4. Okay. Even though I can't stand his music personally, I'm going to go with Neil Young.
Oh, I love Neil Young. Old Man is one of the great songs of all time.
Yeah, I'm just not into it. I get it that people like him. I understand why, but
I don't
not
love
my
all
thing.
His music, but he's got some hits.
I almost didn't name my daughter Maggie because of his.
Oh, okay. Are you guys going to veto this if I take Young Jeezy because now he goes by just Jeezy? Or does Young Jeezy still count?
I'm actually fine with that.
It's not his real name anymore.
Well, he was actually called that, though. It's not a movie. It's a person that was actually called that.
Okay, Young Jeezy, the rapper.
All right, my final one. I'm going to go with Kevin the Minion.
That's a good
one.
I was
going to
say Kevin the Bird from Up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going with Kevin the Minion.
Okay.
Look how bent Ben is.
That was kind of lame. What do we have, Sarah? You got a recap?
Yeah. So, Jake, you have 1, Brigham Young, 2, Kevin Durant, 3, Angus Young, 4, Neil Young, and 5, Kevin the Minion.
Okay.
Ben, you have 1, Steve Young, 2, Kevin Bacon, 3, Kevin McAllister, 4, Kevin Costner, and 5, Young Jeezy.
The draft.
There it is.
You got a good mix in.
We did.
Yeah. Good job. Well,
thank you.
I Ben, still would have taken Kevin the Bird from Up.
That's all right. Ben's still Ben over there.
Well, we're not having fun in the fun draft. God forbid we have fun in the fun draft.
That's not a name of a person or a character.
I will say Hatch walked in here and I explained the situation. He agreed with me and Jake.
That is not a... That's not a vote of popularity for you guys. That does not help your case at all.
Stay tuned. We wrap up the show next. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love. The teams you can't live without.
You have sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology and doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for a free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Peach Doors and Windows. Man, Adrian Wojnarowski has been busy, Ben. Breaking news about lifetime bans, breaking BYU coaching news yesterday. Here's the latest from Woj. Pelicans forward Zion Williamson is out for Friday's play-in tournament elimination game versus Sacramento and will be evaluated again in coming weeks.
If you are a Jazz fan, you are rooting for chaos. You want teams with star players and high salaries to get eliminated early. So while this is very bad for the NBA, these are the types of things you want to happen. Unfortunately, not injuries per se. But the Pelicans, having guys like Brandon Ingram, and look, I'm not saying I would touch Brandon Ingram personally, or Zion Williamson that could become available via trade because they are expensive and their team's underachieve, and general managers and owners get cheap or itchy trigger fingers and want to make deals, that's good for the Jazz. And the more of this that happens over the next 2 months, the better, and really the more that happens in the opening round of the playoffs, the better. So you want good, expensive teams to come up short with this second tax apron that's coming. It's just going to – it doesn't just hurt them financially with the luxury tax you have to pay. It affects future draft pick status. You can't draft higher than like 30th in some of these situations. Like, it's really, really damaging. It makes it basically impossible to make trades to improve your roster once you're in the second apron. These teams losing is good for the Jazz, and I would put, unfortunately, the Pelicans in that conversation.
You don't like Ingram?
I think there's a lot to like about Ingram, and there's a reason he's never done anything of note.
Yeah, well, that organization kind of stinks.
Maybe.
I'm not saying that I think he's the number one on a championship team, but
in the right situation, he's helpful.
I kind of like the idea of somebody built like that next to Lowry, honestly.
And he's only 26.
Like, all of a sudden, if you had Lowry, whatever big, we could discuss what big is best next to Lowry. But if you're talking a big over 7 feet, making that assumption, maybe people assume it's Walker Kessler, maybe not. But a big with some size and a lineup that has a big center, Lowry Markkanen, and Brandon Ingram. And the great thing about Ingram is he could even be your two, arguing. I mean, you could have the biggest team. You could have the biggest lineup in the league, like, overnight. I love his size. He's got that Kevin Durant light feel to him where he's 7 feet tall and thin and can shoot.
He's never healthy.
He's never healthy.
64 this year, 45 last year, 55 the year before that, 61. I mean, talk about games. So he just never plays.
I get that.
So that would be my fear. Now, maybe he's miscast as having to be a number one guy, and that puts too much wear and tear on his body.
You were pretty definitive about it, so I was just curious. Because I like his game.
No, great. He's fun to watch. I always like the idea of Brandon Ingram more than the player, and I worry about guys like that.
Yeah, I get that. All right.
So,
I thought we were disagreeing on his actual gameplay.
But you look at other players on the Pelicans, too, that could potentially come available. You know, they've got the Trey Murphys of the world. They've got the Herb Joneses of the world. And I'm not saying those guys are available, but I had heard that the Pelicans did contact the Jazz before the trade deadline. Now, I think they were going after Lowry, and I don't think it got very far. But, you know, there have been phone calls already with the Pelicans and probably 29 other teams as well. It's not breaking news about the Jazz. But, you know.
Would you trade for Zion?
For the absolute right price, yes. I would not do a 50-50 gamble. Am I overpaying for Zion? You know what I mean? Like, I would probably be a little tight with my chips on Zion, just because he's always hurt.
Yeah, I know. But that, see, there would be tempting because he is, yes, always hurt. And I'm not sure his buy-in factor is particularly high.
Yep.
But he's unique.
When it's
and
right.
You know what unique? You know what wins in the NBA is unique.
Yep.
So that would be really tempting, I would think. But it would be one of those banger bust things where there's really no middle ground. It either go really well for you or go south quick.
Yeah. And again, that's why it's like, is the Jazz have enough? I mean, Danny Ainge said it yesterday. He said, we want one or two guys, which means they want two guys. They want two guys to fit next to Lowry Markkanen to have a, you know, not a big three necessarily, but kind of the identity of the roster.
And then you go from there. Yeah, makes sense.
Would I pay a huge chunk of my resources from that war chest the Jazz have to get Zion? You would very seriously consider it, but like, is he your number one option? You could really, really find yourself in trouble if that's the case.
I got you, but he actually could be.
Yeah, he could be.
Whereas, I mean, to your point about Brandon Ingram, you don't think the ceiling is that for him. I don't either.
Right.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
The nice thing about Zion is he's one of the guys out there who could be a legit number one.
And there's only like five of those guys that exist. So
yeah, I'm with you.
That's why it would be tempting.
It's a gamble. But yes, he's the type of player.
But he doesn't stay healthy, and it doesn't appear like he has the motivation to do the things required to stay healthy. Like what should his playing weight be?
Much less than it is.
Like 260, 270?
Yeah, probably something like that.
Which is still crazy heavy for a wing. But he's like 290, 310.
No, he's unbelievable. And that he can even do it at this size is crazy. And he's in much better shape now than he was. But yeah, you would need him to totally buy in.
And I don't know if he's going to do that. Yeah. He's busy with Instagram dates.
And then his body's got to cooperate on top of it. So those are all the gambles. But
that's the point. His body ain't going to cooperate. I don't know why I just used that word. Isn't going to cooperate. If it's at 310 pounds, that's just.
Yeah, it won't.
That's just physics.
Yeah. And if at this point he's not doing it, it's just, what's the goal here?
Shaq didn't get thinner.
No.
Because Shaq had the same problem, right?
Yeah. So, he's intriguing. But again, these players or these teams losing early and potentially, you know, they've still got to lose to the Kings. And it's going to be a home game. And I don't trust the Kings necessarily. But, yeah, those are the types of guys that may become available when their teams get eliminated early with owners that don't want to spend money, and the Pelicans are notorious for not liking spending money.
All right, stay tuned. Hanson, Scotty G here. Coming up next, Jake and Ben. We'll talk to you tomorrow on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Thanks, Sarah.